First Chronicles chapter number 4, and two verses we'll be reading tonight, and then look at several others. Let's get started with these. We're going to read verses 9 and 10. First Chronicles chapter number 4, verses 9 and 10. A very familiar prayer is uttered here, and we're going to look into the surroundings a bit, and hopefully have something tonight that will help us. I've entitled this message, Come Alive in 2005. Come Alive in 2005. And let's read these verses together. You read them there in your heart as I read them aloud. Verse 9, And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And this is the great part of the verse. And God granted him that which he requested. Jabez asked for several things in verse number 10. And the Bible says, in the conclusion of it all, God gave him what he asked for. And let's pray and ask God's blessing on these verses and this message tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I need your power. Lord, we come to the end of a day. Lord, our focus sometimes can be on many things because of all the events of the day. I pray that you'd help us to concentrate on this truth tonight. And Lord, many different parts of the message, but Lord, I pray that we would desire to do more for you. Lord, and we have to ask you for it, Lord, because you're willing and able to bless, but you're waiting to hear from us to talk to you about it. I pray that we would desire to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, we see from these verses that Jabez offered a prayer, he said in verse number 10, to the God of Israel. We see that this was a prayer of protection from evil and from disaster, and a prayer more than likely that was given when Jabez was about to enter a critical period of service. He was looking for the aid and the blessing of God. Boy, I tell you, I'm right there with old Jabez. I'm looking for the aid and the blessing of God on my life, and I hope everybody in here, you would say the very same thing, is I need God to bless my life. That would be you saying that, of course. And we need God's help, too. We need God's strength. We need God's guidance. And Jabez was a descendant of Judah, and his name means sorrowful. And you can see there in verse number 9, because I bear him with sorrow. Many Jewish writers affirm that Jabez was a doctor in the law, a doctor in the law. And he had some great tasks ahead of him and some great jobs ahead of him. When it comes to asking God for things, there are things that we don't even know that are going to come in. That are going to come into our life in the year 2005. Like you can't get the microphone. There we go. That are going to come into our life in the year 2005. They're unavoidable things. They're things that God has already planned for you and God has already planned for me. And that's why it's so important. Like Jabez, he went to God and asked him for all these things to get him ready for whatever it was that was coming, to make him prepared. He asked for number one, a heavenly pleasure. This is just introduction. He asked for a heavenly pleasure. He said, bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. Then number two, he asked for a heavenly prosperity when he said, enlarge my coast, enlarge my sphere of influence, enlarge my knowledge, enlarge the people that I look up to me, that I can help them to be an encouragement to them. Then number three, he asked for a heavenly presence. He said in verse number 10, thine hand might be with me. You know, in the year 2005, we've got to have a heavenly presence. We've got to have God on our life. We've got to have him right in our midst. And we've got to do everything that we can to keep God close to us. You know, by the way, God is going to stay close to you regardless if you try to go away from him. You see, even when we get away from God, and even when we're backslidden, if you will, God is waiting, and the second you turn around, it's amazing, and I turn around, God's right there. Why is that? Because God goes with us everywhere we go.
The song says, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. But I want us tonight to concentrate on this theme of coming alive. He asked for a heavenly presence. Boy, I tell you, in 2005, we've got to say, God, would you please keep your hand on my life? God, would you please keep your hand on my family? God, would you please keep your hand on my life as a father, on my life as a husband, on my life as a school, as a student, on my life as a mother. Boy, we've got to, not me, but you, we've got to ask for God's hand to be on our life all the time. But never should we get to the point where we say, I've got this Christian life figured out. I don't need the hand of God on me anymore. Never should we ever get to that point. Jabez said, God, please keep your hand on me. Then he not only that, he asked for number four. He asked for a heavenly protection. A heavenly protection. Notice what it says there in verse number 10. He said that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. So a heavenly pleasure, prosperity, presence, and protection. And we saw at the end of verse number 10, not only did Jabez ask for these things, he got these things. He got exactly what he asked for. And do you know, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you some real deep theology and philosophy tonight. If Jabez hadn't asked for them, he wouldn't have got them. He got them because he asked. I mean, so many times, you know, I'm guilty of this. I sit in my chair at home or my desk, and I think, man, there's so many things that I need God to do in this way and that way in my life and all these lives. And I sit around and I think about it, but you know what I never do? I never ask God about it. I think it, but I don't ask God about it. I think, boy, I need help as a father. I need help as a husband. I need all these things. And I think about it in my mind. And I think about people that are struggling with things maybe, or the people that are grieving because of a loss, or people that are ill. And you think about all these things. But see, there's a little bit difference here. Jabez not only thought about it in his mind, Jabez put words to it and said, God, would you give me these four things? And when he asked for it, ask and ye shall receive. So many times we just don't ask. And I'm guilty of it. I'm preaching to me tonight. I'm preaching to the pastor tonight that if I'm going to come alive in 2005 like God wants me to be, I got to first realize that I got to ask. What a great prayer we see here. Prayer is just that. We're not going to talk about just prayer tonight. But boy, I tell you, that would help us in the year 2005 if we'd be people of prayer. He asked for something and God gave it to him. We are now into a new year. It's not difficult for you and I to observe that we live in a dark day. Amen? I'm talking about spiritually. We live in a dark day. We live in a day where more and more restrictions are being put on people that stand up and preach the Word of God. We live in a day where the biblical definition of marriage has been ignored by politicians, judges, city officials, and sad to say, even some who call themselves ministers of the gospel. That's a sad day. That is a dark day. God pity me if I ever stand behind this pulpit and I try to change what God already said marriage is from the Word of God. God pity me. I'm not afraid to say that either, because that's the Word of God. And if we're gonna let some law and some little thing that's passed say, oh, we can't talk about that anymore. Oh, yeah, we can. It's the Word of God. We sure can. Hey, boy, I tell you, Paul and all those guys in the Old New Testament, you think they had a few restrictions over them? You preach it, you're going in jail. Okay, well, I guess you're going to put me there. The minute he got out, he was out preaching it again. I mean, goodness, what enthusiasm. Hey, we're going to need a little bit of that, I'm afraid. I'm afraid we're headed back to that. I'm afraid those days are coming. And what have we got to do? We've got to be like Jabez, and we've got to say, God, if God puts us in prison someday, well, Paul was there. Paul wrote books of the Bible in prison. And we're going to talk about some other things that happened in prison in just a moment. So this isn't a message on people changing the definition of marriage, but what it is that it's to get us thinking tonight that we do live in a dark day. Would you have ever thought we would live in a day like this? And I know maybe we might have thought of a few things, but I'll tell you, that's one thing that as a child growing up, as a teenager, as a young adult, I would have thought, well, there's no, I mean, it's obvious man was created and woman was created, you know. But we live in a dark day. And yet we must believe God is still able to do great things. You see, we can't look at the circumstances around us in the world and in a Christless world, I couldn't think of the word I wanted, and say, boy, we might as well just, pull up our anchor and go somewhere else because God's not going to do anything in Burnaby. God's not going to do anything here. No, we must still believe God is able. We must still believe that God is able to help us to rear our children for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must still believe that regardless of what's happening around us, God will grant big requests. Amen? You think God's run out of miracles or what? Huh? I don't think God's run out of miracles. In the year 2005, I want to see God do great miracles in my life. I want to see God do great miracles in your life. I want to see God do great miracles in the life of this church. We've got to hold to that. Jabez says, here's my list, God. 1, 2, 3, 4. Here they are. And God said, okay. He gave y'all 4. What great faith. He asked. The key is he asked. We must still believe that God can help us and that God is going to answer our prayer. Now, I tell you, it gets exciting. Number one, some ways we can come alive in 2005. Number one, let's observe the opportunities that are around us. Jeremiah 33:3. Great verse of the Bible. Great song too. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee what? Just small things. I'm only going to show you the little tiny things. Now, praise God for the little tiny things too. But I'm only going to show you the little piece of candy. I'm only going to give you a little taste of candy. I'm only going to give you a little bit. No, I'm going to give you great and mighty things that you don't even know about. That's an opportunity that is possible tonight to you. Logan, how old are you? 10. There's a great God up there in heaven that wants to do great things for you this year, 2005, buddy. Great and mighty things that you know not. You don't even realize what he wants to use you for this year. Over there in that school on Cameron, that's Cameron Elementary over there. He wants to use you to be a great example and a great lighthouse to those boys and girls in your class. I'm telling you, one young man, one young lady can make a great difference for the Lord Jesus Christ this year. One of us somewhere in our employers where we work and where we shop, we can make a difference in someone's life. We can. Great and mighty things which shall know us not. I like Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Some of you know that verse too. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Number one, if we're going to come alive this year, we've got to observe the opportunities possible. We need a vision of the opportunities that are possible. How about these things? I give you these three things underneath these, observing the opportunities. And I know I talked a little bit about some of this morning, but I want you to hear this. Number one, under observe the opportunities possible, we still have the opportunity in the year 2005 to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. We still have that opportunity. But aren't you glad that we don't have to worry about what we did on Saturday, that we were breaking the law? Now, that may be a law against the law one of these days. It may be in my lifetime. It may be in some of these young boys' lifetime. But I'll tell you, it's not. We still have the opportunity of freedom in this great country to go out and tell people about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Every problem that someone has gives you and I the opportunity to show them that Jesus Christ is the only answer. Think about that. Somebody comes to you, Brother Enoch, at work. He's a head tailor there at Harry Rosen. He's the man, you know, does the schedules and everything. And, you know, one of his coworkers comes to him and says, boy, Enoch, I got to tell you, boy, at home right now, it's just really tough. Just an example. I'm just giving you an example. You know what? That gives Brother Enoch an opportunity. If that person is not a saved person yet, that gives Brother Enoch an opportunity to say, well, you know, I've been through difficult times in my life too. But I found that a relationship with Jesus Christ is what's made the difference when I've gone through those difficult times. I mean, pull your Bible out of your back pocket and pound them over the head with it. You don't have to do that. You can just say, just like that, well, you know, boy, I've had difficult times too. This is the difference, what Jesus has done. This is the difference. And you know what that does is that takes a little seed. And that puts it in the pocket of that employer, coworker, friend, neighbor. Maybe somebody comes over to your house or over to your apartment or wherever you live and says, boy, to one of these ladies in here says, boy, it's just really rough right now. my son just got diagnosed with this. He's just having this. Some of you are going through things like this right now. And you know what a difference, how the only way you can make it through that, those kind of news is what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Boy, I'm so glad and I'm so excited tonight that we can still give out the gospel. We can still run a big blue bus on the streets of Burnaby and try to pick up people and bring them to the Anchor Baptist Church. And boy, I don't know when the year's going to come or the month's going to come, but I'm praying for the day that it'll come when we can advertise that bus. Would you pray about that? We could advertise it right now, but let me just tell you, we'd have nowhere to put them if they came. I shouldn't say if, when they would come, because I know they would come. I know we could get 20 kids on that bus next Sunday. With the right work and effort, we could have 20 kids on that bus in 1 week. I believe that wholeheartedly. But the thing is, we don't have anywhere to put them right now. So we got to pray for that. We got to pray that God will open up this room over here across the hall. And I believe if He'll do that, we might have some greater opportunities allotted to us this year. We can still run that bus. We can still give out the gospel tracts. We can still print flyers, buy newspaper advertising. We can still send out missionaries. We can still give. We can still go. There are many opportunities that we have tonight to give out the gospel. We must realize and observe the opportunities if we're going to be alive. Not only that, but I thought about this. We must realize the opportunity to grow in grace as a Christian. You know, it's okay to go out and win the world to Christ. But if you let you go back, if you go back in your Christianity and you don't grow, then you are not, I don't know how to say it right, correct English, we will not be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. You see, you've got to work, Caleb, you've got to work on you. Edward, you have to work on you. Logan, you have to work on you. And your mom. And no, you have to work on you. And just teasing. And we've got to work. We've got to work. We've got to work. Why? Because if we want to be an effective witness for God, we've got to be growing in grace. That's so important. I've met a lot of people in my experience that are gung-ho soul winners, but they aren't growing in grace. We've got to grow. We've got to grow. I'm so glad that the opportunity is there that we can grow in our memorizing of the Word of God. Hey, 2005, let's memorize some more of the Bible this year. Let's pick some verses as a family and say, okay, every month we're going to learn one verse. Can you take 30 days? How many days does it take to learn a verse? Let me tell you, these kids will show you how quick you can learn one Bible verse. Take one verse a month and say, this is our family verse, we're going to learn it. Have it at the dinner table, read it every night. You'll have that verse memorized at the end of the month. That's going to help you to grow in grace. We can grow in grace by praying more. Fervently, making a list. We give you a list every Wednesday that you can take home with you and write those prayer requests on there. We can grow in stewardship, not just in giving of finances, but in managing your time. I have to really watch this. You know that we all have 168 hours in a week. But I would have to say that many of us, we're busy, and even though we're busy, I guarantee you, I don't know how many it would be, maybe an hour a day, maybe not quite that much, that we waste. And if you sat down and thought about, if you mapped out your whole day, your whole day, it's mapped out. You don't have time to waste an hour. But I'll tell you what, there is more time that we can take and say, look, I'm gonna take 30 minutes, I'm gonna take 15 minutes, I'm gonna take 10 minutes, and I'm gonna grow in my stewardship of my time with my children. 10 minutes. Something. Growing in grace. You might be a young person tonight. You can grow in grace. You might be a teenager tonight. You can grow in grace. You might be a single mom tonight. You can grow in grace. You might be a grandparent tonight. You can grow in grace. Dr. Lee Robertson, 95 years old. I've told you all about him. We looked at the paper and he was in the Baptist Vision. And what a great man of God, 95 years old, still growing in grace. Still reading the Word, still preaching the Word. So it's a great opportunity. We can give out the gospel. We can grow in grace. And thirdly, it's a great opportunity this year. We can gain ground as a church. This is kind of like the general in the troops, you know. These are our orders for the year, you know. We're going to go out. We're going to win the world. We're going to do all we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we need to pray about this. What did we say Jabez did about these things that he wanted? He took them to God. We need to take these things to God and say, look, I need to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need to grow in grace, and we need to gain ground as a church. Let's ask God for more conversions. Amen. Amen. Let's ask him. What's wrong with that? Let's ask God for more baptisms in the year 2005. Amen? Let's ask God for more people to join the Anchor Baptist Church in 2005. Let's ask God for more adult prospects. Let's ask God for more families. Let's ask God for more people that need to come through those doors back there. Their lives are broken. Their families are ruined. And only God can put them back together. Let's ask God for them to bring them to us. Come on, God. We want them to come here. Nobody else may want them, but we want them. Nobody else. We want the unlovely here at Anchor Baptist Church because we want to show them God's love. Amen. We want those that want to do something for God here at Anchor Baptist Church because that's what we want to do. Dear God, please bring them to us. You see, the difference, I think, in a growing church and a stagnant church or a church that's closing its doors is mainly in one thing. They've not asked God to bless. Let's work all we can, but before we work, let's ask God. God, go with us. God, help us. God, open doors. So number one, stay alive in 2005. Come alive. Let's observe the opportunities. The opportunities are endless. I hope in 2005 we can start a couple more Sunday school classes. But you know what? That means we need teachers. We can't just start a class and say, okay, well, here's the class. You kids teach yourself. We've got to have teachers. I'm not talking a teacher for 10 people. I'm talking a teacher for 3 or 4 young girls that need somebody that'll just look at a Bible lesson and read it and learn it. And many of our problem is space. I understand that. But the Lord's going to open up the space when He thinks we've got the teachers that are ready. He's waiting on us. It's not we waiting on Him. God's ready. He can open up anything He wants, anytime He wants. He's ready. But whatever, the opportunities are endless. Number two. Come alive in 2005. Let's overcome the opposing problems. Let's overcome the opposing problems. Number one, observe the opportunities possible. Number two, let's overcome the opposing problems. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3 says this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Here's the verse I wanted you to see from prison. Philippians chapter 4. Would you turn there with me? We did a series on Philippians, but let's look at it together. Philippians chapter 4. Big problem. I'm in jail. My name's Paul and I'm in jail. That's a big problem. I've got to shut it down. My ministry's over. Philippians 4:13. I've got a thorn in the flesh. I've got this. I've got that. I've got to shut the thing down. I've got an ailment. Can't serve the Lord anymore. My knees hurt. I got to quit. You know, that's what Paul did, didn't he? Look what Paul said in prison, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. I like that word all. Like the old commercial, all means all, and that's all means. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If you don't have that verse memorized, there's a good one for January. I just gave it to you. Philippians 4:13. Because you can't do anything in 2005 without the strength of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He wrote this. Flip back one page, or it might be on the same page. Look at verse number 13 of chapter 3. Same situation, writing to the church at Philippi. Remember that guy that came to get the letter? Oh boy, here we go. Did that series on Philippians. Remember, we asked somebody in the crowd, I won't point or look. He tried to spell it. Remember that guy? Epaphroditus. Remember that? Paul was writing that letter and his buddy Epaphroditus came to get it. I kind of gave it away who tried to spell it, didn't I? But here's what he wrote, Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was in prison. And yet he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to worry about the past. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to overcome the problems that seem to be in the way that will take me and won't let me do anything. I'm going to overcome. What are the problems? Everybody in this room, boy, we're not going to have a raise of hands, but we've all got problems. Amen. There are some things in our life that we might look at them and say, because of that, I can't. Let me tell you, hey, don't say that. Because of the problems that are in your life, you can make a difference in someone else's life. You know what I like to tell people? They say, well, Pastor, you don't understand this, this, and this. And I say, well, look, I do see the problem. I do see the difficulty. But God's going to bring somebody else in your path that's going to go through that same problem. And you're going to be able to say, hey, look, let me sit down and let me help you. Here's what God did for me when I was in the middle of the very same thing. God's going to use those problems. We've got to, hey, we've got to overcome those opposing problems. I thought about this. Four or five things here. We've got to conquer the devil. Now, we can't do that on our own. He's a roaring lion. He's the strongest, stronger than us anyway. Not the strongest, but he is strong. Trying to devour us and take us all down in his path. We've got to conquer the devil. We've got to conquer division. Think of this verse. Psalms 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity. You know what? If this church is going to grow and go in 2005, we are going to have to be united together for the cause of Christ. And we, as far as I know, we are. We can't have one group over here with their objectives, and one group over here with their objectives, and one group back there, and one group over here, one group that sits in the hallway, one group that, you know, the bathroom ministry, you know, they're always out there talking in the bathroom about everything. We can't have that. We got to be united. We got to say, hey, look out for that plant there. That doesn't mean we can't offer suggestions. That doesn't mean we can't try to improve things, because we always want to improve things and make it more organized and things for the glory of God. But we've got to be united. Common goal. Let me make a statement here. I am not against anyone that preaches the Bible way to heaven, the gospel. They may not have Baptists on their church. I'm not against them. However, I make this statement. Secondly, this does not mean that I am for everything my fellow brother and sister in Christ may do. I don't have to be against someone that's preaching the gospel, but that doesn't mean I have to be for everything they do. I can be united with them to reach people for the gospel, but you see, I have to be careful. Because there are some things that I have to take a stand on when it comes to the Bible and a personal standard and conviction that will not allow me to be with every group in the community. That doesn't mean I don't love them. That doesn't mean they're not my brother and sister in Christ. But there are several things that will say I can't yoke up with them necessarily. I pray for them. And I'm not against them. Why? Because we're all preaching the gospel. Our all main goal is to get people to the kingdom of heaven. We've got to conquer this thing of division. Let's overcome the opposing problems. Now, three under that, conquer distractions. Boy, we've all got those. We've got to conquer discouragement. We've got to think on the right things, pray the right way, persevere with the right power. Let's overcome the opposing problems. Number three, I got to go here quickly. Let's obtain the old paths. Let's obtain the old paths. Did we tell me the old story? Is that one of the ones you chose tonight? Whoa, that was good. Thank you. That was perfect. I don't know what he's choosing every night, any night, but that was perfect. I was thinking about the message. Let's obtain the old paths. Let's pursue the old message. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Well, I tell you, if we're going to come alive in 2005, let's obtain the old past. Let's pursue the old methods. Let's pursue the old message. The new method would be, let's attract the lost by becoming like them. I like the old method. Just preach the Bible. Just preach the Bible. You know, not everybody's going to come with Bible preaching. But look, that's what they did in the first church and in the early church. That's what they've done for centuries. And so why change it? Why compromise on it? Let's just keep preaching the Word of God. I've said it over and over again. Let's preach the Word of God. Let's be loving, though. I said it this morning. Pastor Turner is not a dictator. Pastor Turner is your friend. I'm not a CEO. I'm a shepherd. But I have to stand on the Word of God and say, look, this is the old method. This is the old Bible. This has been around for a long time. 1611, was it translated into English? It's in way back before that. In the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can't get any older than in the beginning, can we? And so we've got to continue to pursue the old methods. We will not be, in the year 2005, changing our name to Anchor Community Church. Nothing against somebody, nothing against a community church. I'm just saying, look, this is a Baptist church. In case you missed the sign out front, it's a Baptist church. But I'm not going to be rude about that to anybody, but I believe there was a guy in the Bible that was named after the church I'm in. Amen? The forerunner to Jesus Christ was named John the what? Baptist. Well, wouldn't you know it? Looky there. Look, all I'm saying is in 2005, we got to stay by the old methods. I'm not against television, radio, printing presses, advertising, and the internet. I probably use them all in some way, shape, or form. But I still am under the understanding and belief, and will stand on it, that God builds a church through old-fashioned preaching and teaching of the Word of God, personal working, one-on-one with people. That's the way God builds a church. It's one by one. We could easily say and put out a flyer this week in the community advertising a certain style of worship. And within a few weeks, we would probably be overrun. And that's okay. If somebody has a church like that, I am not criticizing anything. All I'm saying is, for this church, I believe we've got to keep the old book in the forefront. Preach the old gospel. Tell me the old story. No, not the new ways. Let's go the old way. Let's go the Bible way. Hey, let's pursue the old music. Amen? Hey, now I didn't say boring. If you think our music is boring, then look, tell me, because we'll fix it. That doesn't mean we have to have a bunch of things to jazz it up. I'll tell you, this little thingy over here called a piano, that can make some exciting music. And both this tonight and this morning, my gizzard was blessed. Amen? My foot was a-tapping a little bit, too. Nothing wrong with that foot getting a-tapping a little bit. Hey, let's just say, hey, look, hey, we're going to be alive in 2005. Hey, think about this. Think about music in the Bible. Now, I don't know, I'm not an expert on music, and I don't claim to be, but I know where music was used in the Bible. Think about it. Music with no words was used to drive an unclean spirit out of Saul. So music has an effect on the spirit world, according to the Bible. All right, hang on. Another example. Nebuchadnezzar used music as his call to worship for what? The golden image of himself. Remember? That long list of instruments? He said, when you hear that music, you best bow before the statue of myself. Interesting. Think about this. The Israelites had music that matched the sounds of war, according to Joshua, when they were worshiping the golden calf. Remember, they were coming down off the mountain, and they said, it sounds like war down there. What was it? It was related to the music. Very interesting. And there's more and more. This isn't a study on music tonight, but all I'm saying is, let's pursue music that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking, and pardon the expression, but I'm not talking about a funeral dirge here. Exciting, although most funerals I go to, it's pretty exciting music. I mean, they're singing the hymns and praising God because the saint or whoever it was is up in heaven most of the time, and so it's pretty exciting. But let's just keep it going. Let's obtain the old paths. Hey, how about this one? Let's pursue the old morals. Men, hey, let's pursue it. Hey, you young people in here tonight, let me just tell you this, carefully as I can. If you're a man, young man, God has one woman for you for life. One. You hear that? Now, that's old morals. But you know what? That's why the world and the society is in the mess that it's in right now, is because we gave up on old morals. But let me tell you, I'm not giving up on old morals. The first time I kissed my wife, you ask her, she'll tell you, was when I said I do, and the preacher said, you're man and wife, you may now kiss your bride. I'd never kissed her lips one time. Now that was tough, ladies and gentlemen. Because we do have red blood in this body up here. And I think my wife's the most beautiful woman ever created. But because of the preaching and the teaching that I had at home, I just said, look, why get myself into a predicament that's going to ruin my life? And I said, we're going to wait. And she said, we're going to wait. Young people, the further you get away from temptation, the greater chance you have to stay pure. So that someday when you walk down an aisle, hopefully not in a community center, and you get married, you'll be able to say, I've waited for you, my beautiful bride, my handsome hunk of a husband. I've waited for you. You see, those are old morals. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, those are Bible morals. And if we'll turn back and say, yeah, that's right. You know what? There's some of you in here tonight, and I'm not trying to be unkind. There's some of you in here tonight, you made mistakes in your life when it comes to this thing of morality. And you know why? Maybe because you just didn't know. No one taught you. No one trained you. Or maybe it was your choice. But I believe you'd be the one that would stand up here with me and say, you're right. You're right. And you'd stand up here, and I'm not trying to be mean. I hope you know that. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just trying to say, look, boys and girls, young people, teenagers, there are people in this room tonight that would say, Pastor Turner's right. Keep yourself pure for that man or that woman that God has intended for you. Let's obtain the old pass. Oh boy. Number four, quickly. Let's oversee our own project. Let's oversee our own project. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me give you this verse. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This year, whatever your purpose is, Brother Ehlert alluded to this maybe a little bit, write down your purpose for this year. Write it down. God, this is my purpose for this year. Make a plan. How am I going to achieve these goals? Maybe you ought to share it with someone else and say, look, you know, Brother Ehlert, myself, somebody else, it doesn't matter who it is. Maybe one of the other ladies in the church and say, I just want you to know these are my goals for the year. This is my purpose for the year. I'm going to share it with you, and I want you to check in with me February 1st, and I want you to ask me where I'm at. You know what? Accountability will do us all a lot of good, won't it? Let's measure our own purpose. Let's go for it. Let's pray and expect God to answer. Amen? Amen. I mean, you know, dear God, I think you can do it.
Come on.
Dear God, my faith is small, but I've seen you in the past. I've read about what you've done. You've answered prayer in the past. I believe you can do it again. Here's my needs. Jabez said, here's my leads. Needs. 1, 2, 3, 4. God answered them. Let me read this quickly and we'll finish. I've dreamed many a dream that never came true, and I've seen them vanish at dawn. But enough of my dreams have come true to make me keep dreaming on. I've trusted many a friend that has failed me and left me to weep alone. But enough of my friends have been true to me to make me keep trusting on. I've sown many a seed that fell by the wayside for the birds to feed upon. But I've held enough golden sheaves in my hand to keep me sowing on. I've drained the cup of disappointment and pain, and I've gone many days without a song. But I've sipped enough nectar from the roses of life to make me want to live on. It's not in vain, ladies and gentlemen. It's not in vain. Let's come alive in 2005. Let's do all we can for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's determine to be pure in 2005. You say, I've made mistakes in my life, Pastor Turner. You know what? That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, God looks down at all of us, and all the failures that we have, they're all the same to God. My failures and your failures are failures, sin, period. Doesn't matter what they are. They're failure. And I'm glad I can take them to God and say, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And He says, I already have. Don't worry about it. Do your best. Do better next time. You know, kind of like a dad, you know. Heavenly Father, you know, He says, that's all right, son. I know. I forgive you. Now go out there and do your best. Boy, there's so much God wants to do through you this year. I see so much potential here in our church. You just think about this. I don't know what January, first Sunday in January was like in 2004. I didn't look back at the records. But I know we don't base everything on numbers necessarily, but I know that this morning there were over 70 people here. To God be the glory. I don't think we had anything close to that the first Sunday in 2004. I'd be surprised if we had 40. To God be the glory. But we don't say, wow, okay, that's great. Let's take a year off. No, let's keep going. Let's keep pressing on. Not every seed that we sow is going to materialize and be a beautiful sheaf, like we said there. But there'll be some. There'll be some. You think about people that have been in this thing for a long time. And I'm not going to belabor the message or embarrass my parents, but they've been in this thing of the ministry a long time. They've been in full-time Christian service since I was 2 years old. 29 years. Some of us haven't been saved that long. And I know they could tell you tonight that there's been many a young person they've taught or coached that fell by the wayside. And they didn't make it for the Lord. But I guarantee you they've got names by the scores that they can say, here's the ones that made it. Oh, they had a rough period in life. Maybe they even backslid a little bit. But they made it. That's the way I want to be. I want to stay in this thing long enough to be able to see God do great and mighty things. I don't want to just be in this thing for 4 or 5 years as a pastor and say, well, okay, I've spent my 5 years. Now I'm going to go find something else to do. No. As God being the only one that could change things, I plan to be the pastor of this church until I die. And so I have no other plans. No other plans. No other ambitions. Just that. Because I believe that if we put in 20, 30, 40 years, we'll look back and see, wow, look at what Reuben's doing for the Lord now. Remember when old Reuben used to sit up there on the front row and sing his heart out? He's only 5 years old. Now he's 25 years old, and he's faithful in church. He's a Sunday school teacher. He's doing this, doing that. Got a family, married, hoping to have kids someday. Amen, Reuben? Yeah. He could care less about a woman right now, right? But that's why you want to stay in this thing for a long time. Don't get out now. Don't get out next year. Don't get out in 5 years. Say, hey, I'm in this thing for life. And say, God, I can't wait to see the blessings. I look at some of these senior ladies in here tonight. Some of them, I know their testimonies a little bit. They can look back and see, wow, the blessings of God for 50 years, 40 years. That's what I want to be able to do. So let's start with 2005. Let's come alive and stay alive this year for the glory of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless our evening. Lord, I just pray tonight that we will determine that before we go and serve you, we'll be like Jabez and say, look, here you go, Lord. I've got to bring these requests to you. I need your power. I need your protection. I need your provision. Dear God, I know you're the only one that can meet these needs. We're going to be what we can be for you this year, Lord. We as a Christian and we as a church body, we must come to you. We must come to you on our knees. And we must say, dear Lord, I want to do more for you. I want to be alive. Oh, Lord, I need your help. Please grant these needs that I have. Help me to be faithful, to read my Bible, be a witness. Just do all I can for you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Would you, for just a moment, would you, in your seat there, would you ask the Holy Spirit of God what it is, maybe a purpose, maybe a dream, maybe something for this year he can plant in your heart and soul. I've got some dreams for some of you. I'm not even going to tell you, but some of you in here tonight, I've got some dreams for you that I'm asking God to bring into your life. and God to meet needs in your life. I want you to know that. I believe God's able. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Can we all determine tonight to take that first step, like Jabez did, and go to prayer and say, God, enlarge my coast, protect me, give me your strength, provide for me, because that's where it's got to begin if we're going to come alive this year. Our Heavenly Father, bless the invitation. Help us to draw close to you during this invitation. Just act as if you're sitting right there, and you are. Help us to talk to you in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Music has begun to play. God's touched your heart. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But if God's touched your heart, why don't you, if you're able, why don't you make your way down here and say, Dear God, 2005 has come. I want to do as much as I can for you, but I need your help. Would you humble yourself tonight before God like Jabez did? If you can't get down here, make an altar out of your seat. Let's look at this example of Jabez. And let's tell God what it is on our heart.